Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. No fancy Brian on this Wednesday edition of Dueling Tangents, but in his absence, joined by William Walter. Will, how you doing this fine Wednesday afternoon?
What up, party people? I mean, fine, I guess, is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that statement, but to each their own. I know some people like this.
Yeah, this weather, it is a snowy day across the state of Wisconsin, where you are listening, depending on where you are in the state of Wisconsin, to your local Civic Media radio station here in Madison, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, The Shaw, WAUK in Waukesha, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Erin, Amory, News from the Center in Richland Center, WGBW in Green Bay, and Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh. There's a lot of snow coming to the state of Wisconsin. Depending on how far north you are, it will completely determine how much you're getting, but the conditions here look a little icy on the roads. There's a handful of updates. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel keeping a live report of all of the incidents on the roadways. I-43 and other highways near Madison and Milwaukee are icy, so drive with care. There is a state of emergency declared in Racine. So in the southern portion of the listening audience for WAUK 540 AM, you're going to want to be aware of that. There has been a state of emergency declared in Racine County by the county executive, Jonathan Delagrave, and in the Waupaca County Sheriff's Office. So up near Oshkosh Air Support, there has been a tow ban announced for US 10, US 45, and State Highway 54. The Waupaca County Sheriff's Office placed a tow ban on the three highways in Waupaca County and did not say when it would be lifted. And so if you've slide off the road, or if you end up in one of the ditches, there is a tow ban for those three sections in our Oshkosh Air Support listening audience. So just be aware, drive with caution. There's going to be a lot of snow, a lot of ice, a lot of sleet, a lot of everything. All of the different weather that we can have in February is happening across the state right now. So drive with caution as you're listening to Dueling Tangents across the Civic Media app. If you want to take us with you on the go, you can download that app wherever apps are finally downloaded. But yesterday, Will, we had a state spring primary across the state of Wisconsin.
A state spring primary. And then the next day we get one of those like buffet-style platters.
Come on, this is par for the course. It's par for the course. It's February in Wisconsin. This is spring still.
I can't help but feel partially responsible, Luke. I do want to apologize to the listening audience. Mother Nature got a new agent. I thought I could pull a fast one on her, slap the franchise tag down. And it turns out deities do not like when you think you can outsmart them.
Yeah, so franchise tag is not a good thing. I mean, several players have been attempted to be franchise tagged, and things like that do not go well.
We're struggling with the salary cap this year, Luke. We got Mother Nature. We got Antifa. We got
Antifa's a deity.
The Illuminati.
Okay.
Like, all I can barely fit us under the salary cap this year.
All right. Well, hopefully the road conditions clear up soon. Again, just drive with caution across the state of Wisconsin. Depending on where you are, those conditions may vary. So just drive with caution. As our friends over at As Goes Wisconsin like to say, if your windshield wipers are on, your lights should be on as well. Just give that courteous gesture to all fellow drivers out there on the road. But Will, let's dive into yesterday's state Supreme Court results, because Wisconsinites went to the polls, a statewide primary for a seat on the highest court in the state, and it was a four-way primary. two candidates emerged, and it was, to me, a little shocking how quickly that first result got announced. I don't know about you,
Will,
but I was not anticipating an 8:33 call by AP, the Associated Press, saying that Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz was going to be one of the two candidates moving on in that race. Was that a little shocking for you?
I'd like to say yes, but no, it really wasn't. With the resources at her disposal and having canvassed multiple times over the past few weeks, I think it was kind of a foregone conclusion that Janet would likely advance quite early in the night, and then we would be sitting around waiting to see how the conservative side would wind up.
How those two, three, and four slots would end up. Yeah, I mean, she had the most money in the race. That is true by far. She outraised all of her opponents combined, I believe, and it was a pretty good indication she was going to finish first with the amount of advertising that she was able to do for her campaign statewide. And I was still, even with all of that information, I was a little shocked that AP called it for her to be moving on that quickly. Since it was a four-way race, I was anticipating a little bit more of a crowded field, but Protasiewicz emerging as the far and above number one candidate there was the results pretty early on in the evening. Were you shocked by what happened after that with Dan Kelly, the former state Supreme Court justice that was appointed to the state's highest court in 2016 by then Republican Governor Scott Walker, and was defeated for a full term in 2020, coming in that second place finish, moving on to the April general?
Shocked, no, but I was wrong. I was definitely a little surprised. I thought it was very likely that Doro would win. Again, I was basing this on purely my personal experience, having been door knocking in, granted, my suburban community outside of Milwaukee. It's not exactly a good representation of the entirety of the state. But all I was hearing from more right-leaning voters was, oh, I like that Doro woman. How about the woman from the case, the trial on TV? Like, they didn't even know her name, but they recognized the Daryl Brooks case, and that's what they wanted to vote for.
To be fair, I don't even know if the state GOP party knew her name, because they continuously spelt it wrong on several different materials circulated online. So it was Doro with one R.
Their own official Twitter account.
Yeah, so Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, not moving on, was a third-place finish, I believe, about 2 points behind former Justice Dan Kelly in the bid for the state's highest court.
23,000 votes.
23,000 votes. An official tally still being worked on. There are obviously absentee ballots that were still being counted into the evening yesterday, and all of the counties will now canvass their results to get a final total soon. And in fourth place, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, finishing in a pretty distant fourth. It was not a as contested race when it came to the liberal-leaning candidates. Protasiewicz with the gigantic fundraising advantage, outraising Mitchell about 10-1, I believe assisting her in that victory of the number one spot here in Wisconsin. Also last night on the ballot, plenty of down-ballot races, including the Senate, the 8th Senate District in your neck of the woods, Will. What can you tell me about the results there? Were you shocked on that one, or was that pretty much what you were expecting for who would be moving on for the Republican primary in that special election?
Same situation. Results expected. A little surprised by the final tally. Dan Canodal won at 13,900, so about 57%. More than doubling second place, Janelle Branchen at 6,800. And then Van Mobley brought up the rear at 3,700. I think Canodal's been the favorite from the get-go. I mean, we've discussed this numerous times over the past couple of weeks that he was the establishment choice. He was the guy that the party wanted. Branchen, obviously.
There wasn't a big toss-voss presence in the 8th Senate District over there in southeastern Wisconsin?
Shockingly, no. I mean, Branchen didn't even do that well in Menominee Falls, her hometown. So I'm in Germantown, which is where Dan Knoedl is from. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he dominated Germantown. Now, Branchen had significant sign presence in Menominee Falls. I'll give her that. But, even in her home community, she did not do as well as I would have expected.
Goes to show you, signs don't vote. People do. So you got to always take everything into consideration. But it was a pretty as expected night, I think, all around. We had excellent coverage here on Civic Media. If you want to check out that special election night coverage, you can head over to the website to our special events tab underneath the shows. It'll be able to listen to the entire podcast of the evening's coverage. If you're looking for any of that insight, civicmedia.us, special coverage, that is the website. You can find all of the coverage that we did last night there. A lot of things as expected. So we're going to talk about now what this means for going forward to the April 4th spring general election. And an interesting piece written up by Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner, Will, that I want to dive into, as well as take the audience's listening responses as well for what they thought. Was this the results they expected? Are they happy? Are they sad? If you've got a tangent that you want to share on this topic, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also follow the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. But Will, it is kind of an outlier, the fact that Wisconsin elects its judges. And so the piece by Ruth Conniff over at Wisconsin Examiner talking about how it's kind of strange to see Democratic-leaning individuals, progressives, and good governance democracy advocates cheering for the top fundraiser in last night's race, Judge Janet Protasiewicz of Milwaukee County. This is kind of strange how we do things, but the piece by Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner goes through kind of the history of where we got, how we got here, where we came from, what led to where we are now. So we're going to dive into that piece coming up. But again, taking your tangents, your reactions, 844-967-2789. Will, was it like State Fair for you yesterday? Did you enjoy hanging out at the polling place and seeing everybody punching their ballots?
I got a fun little story for you after the break in that regard, because it was different. It was the first time I've experienced an election of this kind, but not in the weird way. You'll have to stick around to find out what I'm getting at.
All right, so we'll dive into that story, your reactions, and a little bit of the debrief of how Wisconsin elects its judges when we get back. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, 844-967-2789 to share your tangents. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. If you are out traveling on Wisconsin's roads today, drive with caution. You're slippery depending on where you are. Lots of snow coming down. There is a tow ban currently, not a tow as in your toes on your feet, more as a tow truck coming to pull you out of the ditch if you slide off the road.
I really, really like my toes.
In Waupaca County. You should like your toes. And so it's a chilly day. We're getting a lot of snow in northern Wisconsin. Roads are slick in southern Wisconsin. So just drive with caution. Be careful out there. And give yourself a little extra time while commuting. But Will, we're discussing the primary results from last night. Statewide primary. Only statewide race was the state Supreme Court, which had a four-way race. There was four candidates, two conservative leaning, two liberal / progressive leaning, however you want to qualify them. And liberal leaning candidate Janet Protasiewicz, top vote getter statewide by a pretty healthy margin. Former state Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly coming in second place. Pretty much a lot of statewide support for him. He won a lot of counties around the state of Wisconsin that were not won by Protasiewicz. And then third place candidate, Judge Jennifer Doro of Waukesha, finishing in third, only won two counties out of the state's 72 counties, Will. And I think it's a pretty interesting reflection of where her support was. As you noted, knocking doors in suburban Milwaukee, you heard a lot of support for Judge Doro. And it seems like that's where her support was, but not a whole lot of support outside of the state. And I think that's a pretty interesting dynamic that we've seen in several Republican primaries now, Will, where there is one candidate that does well in the Milwaukee media for these Republican primaries or conservative-leaning primaries. It was nonpartisan. But the conservative-leaning candidates doing well in the Milwaukee market, and then a different type of conservative candidate doing well in the outstate market. So elsewhere beyond the Milwaukee media market. What are your thoughts on where Doro's support was, and were you shocked that it was such a stark contrast compared to the rest of the state?
You know, something we've talked about in the past are the parallels to the Clefish-Michaels campaign, right? You had this establishment candidate who declared very, very early for this race. It almost seemed like they felt it was their time. They were entitled to it. And then a more populist candidate swoops in at the end, starts getting all this attention from particularly the right-wing radio ecosystem gets behind them, and all of a sudden they become like the outsider, the Donald Trump-esque, I'm not your establishment character, I'm different, come support me candidate. And that's what Jennifer Doro was. Now, I was under the impression that that would lead to a Doro victory because, you know, that's how it happened in the past. Trump swooped in and won. Tim Michaels swooped in and won after the fact. Well, these results, I think, really show the outlandish impact of the Milwaukee media market in particular compared to the rest of the state. I extrapolated my personal experience door knocking to the entirety of the state. And really, I should have recognized that that's just not how the state of Wisconsin functions. When you had the Brooks case covered nonstop in the Wow counties in particular, it makes sense that Doro's support here would be significantly higher than it was in the rest of the state, where they don't have as much access to.
Well, it was covered. I just don't know if it was as covered as closely is what it came down to.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. It wasn't talked about 24/7 like the case was here. I mean, Doro won Waukesha. Doro won Washington. That's it. Like you said,
those are the two counties. She didn't even get the Wow. She just got the W's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And it's not that Dan Kelly ran away with Ozaukee County either, that O in the Wow County acronym. Janet Protasiewicz won Ozaukee County, which is a little eyebrow raising. Yes, it was a primary. It was a relatively low turnout for how the state does, but it exceeded state spring primary turnout totals for the last 20 years. So this was one of the highest turnout elections we have had for a February primary in two decades, but Janet Protasiewicz, the liberal-leaning quote-unquote judge in this race, winning Ozaukee County. I thought that that was noteworthy, but it
certainly is. To give a little context, though, to Luke, if you added the two conservatives' votes compared to the liberal votes, Ozaukee was still lost by about 12.5%, which is slightly worse than the 11% Tony Evers lost by, better than the 16-ish percent Mandela Barnes lost by. However, you touched on the turnout itself. I saw early data from Dane County that about 36 to 36.5% of registered voters came out. That is incredible for a spring primary.
Yeah.
Incredible.
For somebody that worked spring primary, now granted, this was 8 years ago. I want to say the turnout in the city of Madison on that election in 2019, or no, when would this have been? 8 years ago is 2015. I can't do math. But 8 years ago, I want to say Madison's turnout for the spring primary, 7%.
Mm-hmm.
7% 8 years ago. So it is pretty interesting to know that Dane County was fired up. And will that carry over to the April 4th general? We don't know yet. But if you add up the liberal-leaning candidates versus the conservative-leaning candidates' total vote totals across the state, the liberal-leaning candidates had close to 54%. versus 46.
Which is very similar to the turnout or to the final results of Kelly's last election.
It is, and so it will be something close to watch. I'm not saying that that is a sign to relax. I'm not saying that it is what's going to happen in April, but I think it is pretty interesting to see. But you got to add in then the layer. There are going to be ballot referendum questions that conservatives, and at least the legislature, hope are going to gin up support for conservative candidates up and down the ballot come April. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. We'll be right back.
At least you're on the radio.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, The Shaw in Waukesha, and around the state. Head over to civicmedia.us, our website, to learn more. You can sign up to see where the stations are coming next, and you can see all the excellent programming provided by Civic Media for the state of Wisconsin. Joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, you alluded to a story. You had told me in the past that you view voting in person on election day as a little exercise in people watching. Just going as some I included like to do at the Wisconsin State Fair, Summerfest, a variety of different opportunities to do the people watching. But that's what you were most excited for yesterday, or maybe not the most excited for, but an aspect that you were looking
forward to. The most excited by far. I mark it on my calendar. Every year,
election
like,
day,
is when
people
I get to go watch people.
There yeah. you go.
Sometimes I'll bring like chicken wings or bring friends, and they can like we make a trip out of
and
it.
And then you're the weirdo that everybody else is watching, saying, "Well, look at that weirdo as they're people watching because you're just eating chicken wings in the corner of the polling place, just like
we're like
what
cheering
is going
as people walk out, like woo, getting fired up as if it's the Super. That's my Super Bowl.
That's
we talked about the Super Bowl a little bit on Friday. That's my actual Super Bowl.
The spring primary election. William Walter's Super Bowl. But tell us about your people watching story from yesterday.
So I was a little concerned by the turnout. I walked in. There was nobody there. I usually have a line, not terribly bad. I tend to go around the same time, mid-afternoon, most election days. And Walter, you know, last name, bottom of the alphabet. So I immediately just veer off to the right because, you know, polling locations generally do it by alphabetically. Mm-hmm. Turns out my polling location moved into the 21st century. Now they're like, hey, you need, the line starts over there. And I was like, well, there's no line. What do you mean? But they were directing me to the entrance that was roped off how they wanted to, you know, get people gathered or whatever. And just had me go right up to the first booth. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, you guys aren't doing this alphabetically anymore? Nope. It's all electronic. They scan my driver's license, hand me my ballot. Immediate. Took 5 seconds. No wonder there was no line. No wonder nobody was waiting there anymore. I was like, dude, why did it take till 2023 to get this done? Are you kidding me? Like, no wonder they're purposely trying to suppress the votes at this point if you're not.
Well, Scott Walker was trying to win the 21st century with Foxconn, and so not as much money put into our election system, but it is a nice change. I had the same experience. I walked in to my polling location with there was probably three or four other people walking in about the same time, but they had all the computers set up. You just walked up, boom, it was done. I was in and out in less than 5 minutes. And so very smooth election day process. And that's great to hear because in Madison, some people ran out of paper ballots. They had to go to a special the voting machine. So there was a line in some of the precincts here in Madison because there was such high turnout that they ran out of paper ballots. And so that's pretty cool to see that there were that many voters and breaking a 20-year high for voter turnout here in Dane County and around the state, I believe.
I was number 500, lucky number 500.
I didn't even catch my number. See, I was amazed at how quick the process was. I wasn't even focusing on, oh, what number was I in my voting precinct? So I
made a big deal about, like, do I get a reward? Do I get a prize? Like,
I dropped the ball on that one. And my location doesn't give out stickers anymore. They just give out, like, these, like, the the event wristbands. So you can like tie a wristband around. You can get one of those that says I voted, but they don't have stickers. But I was like, I don't really want to walk around with a wristband all day. So
that doesn't make for a good social media picture. That's unacceptable. Well, how are people going to know you're participating in democracy?
I guess I should have wore the wristband. You're right. But there is an interesting piece, as I alluded to earlier in the show, about, well, should Wisconsin continue to use this practice of voting for members of the state's highest court? And the piece written up by Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner, headlined, Wisconsin should stop electing justices to the state Supreme Court. So a pretty definitive stance by Ruth Conniff at the Wisconsin Examiner. But Will, it alludes a lot of different factors about maybe not going to the polls like Wisconsinites did yesterday is the best way to elect individuals to the state's highest court, or I guess determine who is on the state's highest court. Because with Conniff's suggestion, we should move away from elections for this. And Wisconsin, one of, I believe, 10, 15 states that elects its judges. And so we are kind of an outlier when it comes to the national practices for who gets to be on the state's highest court. But reading from the piece, it's been weird to watch Democrats, progressives, and advocates for revitalizing democracy in Wisconsin root for the big money candidate in Tuesday's primary election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Liberal candidate Janet Protasiewicz has raised a record-breaking $2.2 million, about half of it from out-of-state, WisPolitics reports, in a race the New York Times dubbed, quote, arguably the most important election in America in 2023. I hadn't really viewed it from that lens yet, Will, but what are your thoughts? Was it contradictory for you to be cheering for the outcome or excited about the outcome that came after Wisconsinites went to the polls yesterday? Because this piece was written before, this was yesterday morning published over at the Wisconsin Examiner, so it came out before the results last night. But what do you thought? What do you think?
Well, for me, the crux of her argument is essentially that big money has tainted electoral politics. And that's a concept that people like you and I have been talking about for years and years and years, going back to the Citizens United ruling. And in that regard, she's 100% correct. I mean, the influence of big money has drastically changed the way that political elections function. And with a Supreme Court race, that should be no different than a gubernatorial. That should be no different than, like, obviously you'd still want to have Democratic elections for the governor. But the point being made, which is that a handful of ultra rich people on the right versus fighting a handful of ultra rich people on the left essentially means it's kind of like tribal politics, but what rich person's team do you side with? And well, I think
there's an outsized
Rothschild makes a great point later in the article in that regard.
Yeah, there's an outsized influence now in Wisconsin elections, but all elections in the state, not just how we elect our state Supreme Court representatives, but for just anytime there is somebody on the ballot, the way that campaign finance is now set up in Wisconsin, it leads to anybody being able to get backed by somebody with deep pockets and successfully winning those seats due to that outsized influence. Continuing on with the piece, but jumping down a little bit further, this is the pragmatic new reality in Wisconsin. Over the last couple of decades, the legislature got rid of public financing of state Supreme Court elections, rewrote campaign finance law to allow people to give up to $20,000 to candidates, and eliminated the ceiling on donations to political parties. Now, those are rules made, and there have been a lot of conservatives and Republicans in Wisconsin that have been decrying the amount of money raised and spent by the Protasiewicz campaign. But it was directly those Republican elected officials throughout the Walker era that did away with those aspects. Those changes to campaign finance were done by Republicans, and now the Republicans and conservative-leaning candidates are crying foul. And it's pretty strange to see, Will, because this kind of, it does turn itself on its head. And in 2008, continuing on with the Conniff piece at the Wisconsin Examiner, the floodgates opened with the dramatically expensive and shockingly dirty campaign by Michael Gableman challenging Wisconsin's first Black Supreme Court Justice, Lewis Butler. Gableman won despite the opposition from the majority and other judges in the state and a rebuke by the Wisconsin Judicial Commission for his misleading ads against Butler. And so it is something that we've been seeing now over the last 15 years when it comes to these state Supreme Court races, Will. And it's pretty shocking to see that the change. And
yes, Luke, that is the same Michael Gableman. If you were wondering if that name sounded familiar, that's the same Michael Gableman.
Thank you, Will. Michael Gableman.
It's always the same handful of. It's that Harry Potter meme where Professor McGonagall is like, when something bad happens, why is it always you three? And it's Harry, Ron, and Hermione. That's like all of politics. It's like the same handful of Republicans.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, reading from a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, talking about whether or not the process that we participated in yesterday, going to the polls, is the best process to determine how and who sits on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you pointed out a quote from friend of the show, Matt Rothschild, at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Democrats need to beware. They may be winning right now in the money, but that's not going to last forever because there are more right-wing billionaires than there are left-wing billionaires, alluding to the point you made, saying that it just becomes kind of a tug of war between the two sides of who has the most money. And it's shocking, but the amount of money that's going to be spent in this race, already exceeding, I believe, $7 million, last reported by J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics. We're going to see over the next 6 weeks, Will, a lot more money spent now that there is only two candidates remaining. Now that we are beyond the primary stage of this election cycle, the spending by the candidates and the outside spending, I think, is only going to ramp up more.
On something you touched on before, how, you know, Republicans were the ones who kind of allowed the unlimited financial incentives to get involved in these races, and now they're complaining about it. I think you have to point out as well, as this piece from the Wisconsin Examiner does, that Democrats had the opportunity in 2009 to create a nonpartisan redistricting process, and they chose not to because they were confident that they were going to continue winning and be able to implement their own gerrymander. So that the parallels, I think, to abortion as well, in that Democrats had a chance to codify Roe v. Wade and chose not to because it was a really effective and efficient means of fundraising. And then when they passed up on that opportunity, Republicans jumped on it. You have to note that a lot of these systemic problems kind of go across the aisle. And until I think until we touch on the single biggest aspect of that, which is big money in politics, I think that kind of interconnects all of these issues, is that, as Matt pointed out, it's a very small handful of rich people fighting a very small handful of other rich people to push their ideology forward. And that does not represent a true democracy.
Yeah. And it gets to an interesting point where there are plenty of issues out there that I believe we could see more bipartisan compromise on, but both sides do it. I will say that Republicans, I think, do it a little bit more and a little, I don't know the necessarily the right word for it, but they're...
I hate to say better, but they're kind of better at it.
Well, they don't believe that government can work, so they're fine with campaigning against a problem with never having the expectation to, if they win or when they win seats in government, to address that problem, actually addressing that problem. Because the biggest one also comes to mind is immigration. We could see bipartisan immigration reform. There was a chance under the former president, Republican former president Donald Trump, there was a chance that we could have had a bipartisan immigration compromise, and he threw it out instead of actually, because his base and other Republicans wouldn't support it. Because if you actually solve that crisis, it's not something you can campaign on anymore. And so, exactly. Yes, there is a very, very fine line that a lot of politicians and elected officials take when it comes to doing work and getting things done, but also leaving things to run on and campaign, because we do have far too many career politicians. And
you give a mouse a cookie, Luke. You show that government can fix a problem one time, all of a sudden people are going to be expecting the government to fix all these problems, and then my private enterprise can't fix the problems that I created for them.
Yeah. So, but finishing off over the piece, Ruth Conniff alludes to what could be done. In 23 other states, judicial nominating commissions submit lists of nominees for selecting by the governor. So it still gives a Democratic input. Whoever the state elected as the governor would put forth this list, and then an independent judicial panel would decide who sits on the highest court. We can continue on with this piece because I think there are a couple other interesting aspects that Ruth Conniff lays out at the Wisconsin Examiner. But if you want to share a tangent with what your thoughts are on yesterday's spring primary results, you can share those here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Wednesday by William Walter, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. And Will, we got one more segment left in the day, so we're gonna continue the conversation. Maybe we'll feed some other tangents into the final segment of today for Dueling Tangents. Again, the number to call, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. Wednesdays with Will edition of the show.
Final first segment. Time it's been on Wednesdays in a while, huh?
No, last week we had you on Wednesday and Thursday, didn't we? Or was it just
Thursday, Friday.
Okay, yeah, first time in a little, I think 2 weeks ago maybe we had you. All the weeks blend together for me, so.
Time is an illusion, Luke.
And in less than 6 weeks, we will go through it again. 6 weeks from yesterday, the spring general election. We've been talking about it here all hour long. If you want to share a thought on it, 844-967-2789. Are you surprised by the results? Was it what you were anticipating? If you've got any takeaways from yesterday's statewide race or want to talk about a race, maybe down ballot, that we haven't got a chance to cover yet, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. And Will, there was an interesting dynamic that was at play for this primary that you brought up and want to talk about it a little bit more, is the way that some of the historic funds that were raised in this race were spent when it comes to who wanted which candidates in, because it seems like, and this was at play in both the state Supreme Court race, but also in the 8th Senate district where that was having a special election, it seemed like there were some candidates that the other side wanted to vote for, maybe just to throw things off, maybe to make it interesting. Again, nonpartisan race here in Wisconsin, so you could vote for any of the four candidates you wanted to regardless of your own political affiliation. What are your thoughts on the way that some of the spending was and how some of the talking was about which candidates each side would prefer to go up against?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats clearly felt that Jennifer Doerr was the stronger conservative candidate, as they spent a decent amount on attack ads against.
Well, stronger candidate. We don't know. I mean, she's a self-proclaimed conservative, but she, again, didn't have a huge judicial track record outside of the fame that she got for presiding over the Waukesha parade trial. And so, as Dan Kelly alluded to, and I don't know, she was reading from a binder at a WISP Politics event. And when it came to the precedent, I think some of the things that she pointed off, even reading, where I didn't agree with. So it was an interesting determination that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and some outside spending
groups. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised.
Doerr was the stronger candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did not expect it. I was at that WISP Politics forum, sitting in like the third row, and people around us were kind of whispering, like, "Is she going to answer anything?" Because it was clear that she was just straight up like flipping through reading. Kelly had nothing in front of him. I'll at least give him credit for the fact that he was giving answers that he had prepared. I don't know if he knew the questions were coming or what, but he appeared significantly more prepared than Judge Doerr. But at the same time, Kelly is just so smug. He was like leaned back, like, "Yeah, man, I'm just here because I have to be here." You know, like he was acting like Marshawn Lynch at a press conference. And like, I love when Marshawn Lynch does it, but I don't love it when my Supreme Court candidate well, is doing.
And that's also just a shockingly interesting stance to take when you last time you were on the ballot for the state Supreme Court. You lost by like 10 points. So a very interesting
55-45. Yeah. So he actually lost by more than Protasiewicz won yesterday's primary by.
Yeah. So an interesting bravado that he brought to that WisPolitics event. But it seemed like at least the individuals that will be participating in spending and doing all of the ad creation and all of that leading up to the general now seem to want to run against Dan Kelly because of that spending. So it is an interesting dynamic. I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot of ads over the next 6 weeks, Will. So it's going to be interesting which direction those ads all go. But Janelle Branchen just having ads. Were they in favor of her? Were they against Dan Knodel? I feel like I heard something about the outside spending, but not completely familiar with that race as well as you are, Will.
I didn't see any ads on television. I was getting mailers daily, multiple mailers daily from Knodel. I received a mailer every second or third day, probably from Branchen, nothing from Mobley. But I also don't watch a ton of cable television, so it's certainly possible that the ads were appearing.
You weren't the target audience for who was being advertised to in that special election anyways, I have a feeling, Will.
Yeah. Well, and like with the Supreme Court race, when it's every other ad, okay, you'll see these ads occasionally. You're at the gym and they have the news on or something. You pick up on it. But with the special election ads, no, I didn't see anything. I didn't even see any social media ads, which is odd because I've seen some social media ads already for the general in that race.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think it is a very interesting dynamic. I think one of the other reasons why some of the groups like the state party, Democratic Party of Wisconsin, wanting to run against Dan Kelly, attacking Judge Doro during the primary, is it seems like Dan Kelly, like a lot of other Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin, has a connection possibly to the fraudulent elector scheme in 2020. So Dan Kelly lost by that 10-point margin.
$120,000 connection.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong connection. But he lost in the spring of 2020 by 10 points to Kurofsky, I believe.
Jill Kurofsky
versus Dan Kelly. That was the race in 2020. He was defeated handily in that race in the spring. And then as Republicans plotted a scheme to try to overturn the state's fall election results in November, Dan Kelly was being paid $120,000 by the state party of the Republicans here in Wisconsin to consult on election-related materials. I don't know what else would fall under that consulting outside of the scheme to try to overturn the will of Wisconsin voters, Will. What are your thoughts on that connection?
Former state Republican Party chairman Andrew Hitt said in a deposition last year to the U.S. House Committee that he and Kelly had, quote, pretty extensive conversations, unquote, about the fake elector scheme, with Kelly serving as the party's special counsel at the time. Hitt said, I had brought him on in Wisconsin to kind of help with. He's from Wisconsin. I brought him on to kind of advise on election law matters. Hill said.
So two former state Supreme Court justices becoming special counsels to the state party and the state assembly. Michael Gableman and Dan Kelly both serving as special counsels since 2020.
Remember, too, Luke, that Kelly has been frequently blasting Janet that she'll put her thumb on the scales of justice because she's already announcing her values getting paid to do that.
Yeah, and he got paid more than $100,000. I guess you wouldn't call that putting your thumb, though, on the scale. That would just be completely throwing the scale out.
He's sitting on the scale at that point. Yeah, like,
folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate you, Will, for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Stay safe out there on the roads. Again, plenty of winter weather advisories and tough road conditions, so drive with caution. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m., Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.